Praise God. Indeed, the greatest peace that we get is from Jesus. Amen. Well, we will continue with our series on Gate Wisdom. And today is a wrap. We are wrapping it up. We started 3 weeks ago with Pastor Walker. And then we had Pastor Moffat. And then last week we had Pastor Alice. And I believe that we are getting a lot of insight and a lot of wisdom from the series. And I want to start by what Pastor Alice said last Sunday. And this is what she said, and I quote, "An applied wisdom cannot benefit you. An applied wisdom cannot benefit you." What that means is that you can have knowledge, you can have information, but if you don't apply it, that knowledge is useless. We live in a time where there is so much information. Just at the fingertip, there is information. So it's interesting that in this time, in the age we're living in, the information age, there's no need for us to be ignorant. But the missing link is wisdom. The missing link is wisdom. You know, we have so much knowledge, like I said. It is like knowing how to read and you do not read. It is as good as a person who does not know how to read. It's like coming to church every Sunday and getting all the teaching, the information, the knowledge, God's word, and yet we go out and live the same life we lived yesterday. That is lack of wisdom. So you cannot attend church every Sunday, 365 days, in fact 52 weeks in a year, and only live not even 1% of it. God requires that as we receive the information, as we receive the knowledge, what's the difference is that we're going to apply it. We are going to apply it. That's the difference. The difference is in the doing, not in the hearing. So let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that indeed, as we have listened to the past 3 weeks on getting wisdom, Lord, this morning we pray that you will build us to see the insights of your word and cause us, Father, to know you more and to crave for wisdom. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our title this morning is Acquire Wisdom. Acquire Wisdom. So if you came in under your seat, we put something there. Just check if it's there. No, I'm kidding. There's nothing. I'm kidding. There's nothing. You'll see that illustration later on why we're talking about finding and acquiring wisdom. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And let's start reading from 17 and 18. 17 and 18. I'll use ESV. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently shall find me." 18. "Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness." What Proverbs is saying there, so we'll look at three keys this morning. And number one key is that seek wisdom with all your heart. Seek wisdom with all your heart. Wisdom is God's treasure, and he offers it to anyone who is willing to seek it. You have to look for it. Like any other treasure, any person needs to take time and be willing to sacrifice other things for that important treasure. The secret of your future and success is hidden in what you are pursuing. The secret in the secret of your future and your success is hidden in what you are pursuing. What are you pursuing? Seeking affects our attitude. Seeking affects how we are going to live our lives. It's not a casual approach. When you are seeking, you cannot do it casually. Seeking causes you to sacrifice other things. You see, there are so many things that require our attention. There is sports. There are children. There is wifey. Husbands, when is the last time you pursued your wife? When is the last time you pursued your wife? You see, we stop pursuing because we become familiar with each other. We stop pursuing God because we get so familiar with Him. One time my wife traveled, and you see, I talk about marriage and wifey most of the time because I love her and I pursue her all the time. So she traveled and she went somewhere, and I followed her. What was I doing? It was overseas. It wasn't even in this country. The idea there is because she's important to me, I pursue her. With everything. I went to the embassy, and I even lied when I went to the embassy. I gave a story of why I was going to where I was going. I says, "Sir, we're giving you your visa." But the point I'm trying to drive at, brethren, is that if something is important, if somebody says, "I love you," the proof of their love is in their pursuit. How do they pursue you? Wisdom says, when you pursue me diligently, not casually, it says, you will find me. You will find me. I pursue, here's what I do in my pursuit for wisdom. Most of the time I pursue God when my life is at a mountaintop. I don't pursue God when my life is in emergency. You know why we have to pursue God at mountaintop? Because when the valleys come, it is what I did at the mountaintop that will sustain me in my valley. But most times we start pursuing God when we're in the valley, when we are sick, when life has thrown those lemons and oranges and whatnot, and then we say, it's time now to pursue God. At that particular time, it's a bit too late. In fact, Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 2 says, seek me now, because a time will come when I won't listen to you. When all is going so well in your life, it's time for you to fast and pray. You don't fast and pray when there's calamity going on. It's the wrong time. Because now all you're doing is just engaging in emergency so that God answers you. That's not love. Love is you can deny yourself the food, the T-bone, and say, God, I'm going to fast because I love you. Because I want to get deeper with you. Because I thirsty after you. Because I want to grow in my relationship with you. And so I seek you at my mountaintop. I pray more when my life is going so well. I take time to pray. You see, wisdom says, if you love me, you will seek me. You can always tell by what you pursue. There are two things that tells us that. Is where we spend our time and where we spend our money. Where we spend our time and where we spend our money. Then you know what is more important to you. Right now, if I have to ask you and say, write down something that is very important to you, and then I'll know how you're pursuing it. The Bible tells us this. It says, seek and you shall find. Only the seekers find. Only the seekers find. Those who are not seeking should not find. Jesus says it so well. He says, those that are thirsty and hungry for righteousness, they shall be filled. A banquet is only prepared for those that are hungry. If you are full, you don't go to the banquet table. Why do you go to the banquet table? It's because you're hungry. Jesus tells us, keep your cup empty all the time so that you can be filled. Habitually seeking, not a one-off. So the difference in people is not what they pursue, but it is in what they do habitually. The difference in people is not what they pursue or what they seek, but what they habitually seek or what they habitually do. Even in exercising, in planning, in possession, is what you habitually do. So acquiring wisdom is little by little. Little by little. So Proverbs 13:11 tells us, says this. It says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle. But whoever gains or gathers little by little will do what? We increase. Now, if you ask the other couples, they'll tell you that when they started, most of them says, we just only had a mat. Mpasa, if you like. That's only they had. But over time, little by little, you see them possessing what they possess. It's been over time. But a young man or a young lady thinks, these guys, I want to be like those ones. It took time to be where they are. So I told the youngsters and says, start where you are. Don't compare yourself with the others. If all you have is a little house and this bed, well, and you have a job, get married. But that's a tough one. The point I'm trying to drive is as you do little by little, you increase. As you do little by little, you increase. As you keep on seeking Him, little by little, you will grow. Let's open Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 20-27. Matthew. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house. And what happened? It stood. It did not fall. But the other guy, what happened to the house? It went down. Same circumstances. Two people building. Probably the structure looked similar. But what happened is this. Over time, the circumstances of life happened. The rain came and the wind blew. The result confirmed who had wisdom and who had not wisdom. Based on what they did. Same circumstances, but different results. Why? As you do little by little, what you did 2 days ago, what you did 3 years ago, what you did 10 years ago, what we have right now is the result of what we did 10 years ago. There's no magic, it's what we did. So if we want to change our tomorrow, if we want to change our 50 years from now, is we start doing something little by little today. If we want to gather wisdom, we want to increase in our wisdom, is by reading just a few verses every day and memorizing them. So the key, wisdom key one tells us that we seek him and we go to wisdom key two. Wisdom key two says, meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. You seek him, and the second thing you do on wisdom key two is that you meditate. Joshua 1 verse 8. We all know this scripture. That is if we take time to read. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But what should you do? You shall meditate upon it how many times? How many times? I can't hear you. Day and night. That you may observe and to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So what does meditation mean? What does it mean to meditate? It means to take time to ponder on that scripture. You cannot meditate on what you do not know. You can't. You have to take time and read. To meditate, it means that you need to shut the world around you and spend time alone. Shut the TV. Shut now with this social media. I struggle as well with this social media. Open it up before you know it. You've spent 1 hour doing what? Just pshw, pshw, pshw. And what are you gaining? Tell me, what are you gaining? Just entertainment. Just entertainment. Few people spend time to say, is there a particular thing I want to gather and know about this? Let me go there. But most of the time is just pshw, pshw, pshw. No. So you shut the world. You put the phone down and say, you know what? I am going to talk to God. And I'm going to look at this scripture. And I'm going to ask myself questions about this scripture. What does this mean? Who wrote it? To who was it written for? Well, you see, the Bible was written to the people of that time, but it was also written for us. It was written in that environment, but it was also written for us. So we meditate. Distractions out. We remove all the distraction in order for us to meditate on God's word as we seek him. So turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and we see how sometimes distractions happen with two sisters. Luke 10 verse 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him in her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Watch this. Verse 4 says this. But Martha was distracted with what? So much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to save alone? We can be busy in church and not seeking God and busy serving. Just busy serving. It's good to serve, and God wants us to serve. But he says, now listen to what Jesus says to Martha. Verse 41. But the Lord answered Martha, answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxiety, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You're troubled by that. But one thing is necessary. Other scripture says, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion. Just sitting and listening. He says, yes, that's a good portion. Because it is the more you seek him, the more you delight in him. And the more you grow in how to serve. You do it even better. But if serving is number one, and the seeking is very low, it's just a question of time when you disappear from serving. Because you get tired. It will be in your effort and power. But when you seek him, he tells you what to do. So you meditate. So tell your neighbor, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. See, Mary had a single focus. A single focus. The rewards of your routine are your future. The rewards of your routine, your focus. God tells Joshua in chapter 1, verse 7, he says, do not turn to the left or to the right. In other words, it says focus. Then verse 8 comes in. It says, this book, you shall do one. Meditate upon day and night. Earlier this year, we had 10 or 12 guys. And we sat and said, guys, not even earlier, we said it last year. It says, guys, next year, this book of the law shall not depart on our mouths. So we took 12 guys. We started saying, okay, the Bible has got how many chapters? 1,189 chapters. So if you divide that by 365 days, all you need to do to read is 3 to 4 chapters. You'll be done with the Bible. Simple, right? Simple, right? So all of us should finish our Bible, right? Just 3 chapters every day. So we took the guys. This is January. First January, when everybody is dancing, we said we should not dance. We should do what? We should read 3 chapters. Only 3 chapters. By March, one third of the guys could not cope up. They were behind in their reading. Distractions started happening. By the time we are reaching mid-year this year, two-thirds have dropped. That's a simple exercise. 2-3 chapters. By September, last month, I was checking how many of us are on track. Only one remaining. So talk is cheap. We talk too much, and yet what we do is too little. Just 3 chapters. So they got distracted with life. There will always be distraction. You see, in seeking, there must be pain. And say, you know what, I'm tired. If you are parenting, if you go to bed and you're not tired, you're not doing it so well. Because after you finish your work, you do everything, you get home, it's time to sit down with your kids and talk. In meditating also, you have to say, God, this is priority, this is number one. You are number one. I'm going to do it. David said it this way. He says, at midnight will I seek you. Don't create a doctrine out of it. Because sometimes people say, no midnight prayers. No. What David is saying is that, you know what, you are very important, that I cannot just sit. I want to pursue you. So it takes time at midnight to read and study his word, the Torah at the time. Don't get distracted. There's a promise to that scripture in meditation. It says, then you shall prosper. The rewards of seeking are only for those who are seeking. The rewards of those who are seeking wisdom only come to those that are seeking. You see, when you meditate upon God's word, it is like a sponge. Do you remember Peter in Acts chapter 3, I believe, when the Holy Spirit came upon them? Peter wasn't even scheduled like we scheduled for that day and says he's going to preach. He wasn't scheduled. He didn't prepare a sermon and put it like the way I'm doing. It is from what he was meditating upon, and when that day came, the day of the Pentecost, Peter stood up and said the words of Joel chapter 2. Where did it happen? It's because he was meditating on God's word. He was hungry for God's word. He was seeking him, that when the time came for him to speak, it was just from the abundance of the heart. And God says, you see, you cannot speak what you don't have inside. You cannot speak what you don't have inside. So devote much of your time to Scripture. Devote your time. Come 2025, says, I'll read 3 chapters every day. And I'll finish my Bible. You cannot be a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, and you've never even finished the Bible. So put yourself on that challenge. It says, this is how long I've been a Christian. I have to now, just for once, just finish it and read it. And you find great wisdom. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17, it says this. It says, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what you keep hearing, you eventually believe. What you keep hearing, you eventually believe. You see, repetition decides what you believe. As you keep repeating what is coming into your heart, you eventually believe. So you need to practice that. Don't get tired of hearing. You see, sometimes we repeat same things at church over and over. And sometimes even when I was preparing for a teaching, and I find myself like, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, or somebody spoke about this 3 weeks ago. And why should I go and talk about the same thing? No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing it one more time. Now, if you cannot read the Bible nowadays, all you need to do is take an audio Bible. Even with your audio Bible, you can finish it in 1 year. Just listen. Keep listening. Keep listening. And it will be enforced by repetition. Parents know this very well. That they keep on repeating the same things they told the child yesterday, and they're teaching them again today. Repetition. And sometimes the results look like it's not happening. But 10 years, 20 years down the line, the same things you taught them, they want to teach their children. Where did it happen? It happened because you kept on repeating that information to them. So repeat. Keep on repeating. So great wisdom is found in God's word. Great wisdom is found in God's word. Let's go to wisdom key 3. Then we'll be done. Wisdom key 3. Proverbs 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, verse 1. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Wisdom key 3 is seek wise people in getting wisdom. Seek wise people. You see, a step towards self-sufficiency is a step away from God. A step towards self-sufficiency is a step away from God and wisdom. The Bible is all about relationship. Right from the 2 chapters from the beginning, it's about relationship. God creates man in his image, relationship. Chapter 2, we see Adam. He says, it's not good even before the fall. He says, it's not good for man to be alone even before the fall. Some of us says, I do not need man. All I need is God. The statement is not complete. You need others. The same God who said, seek me with all your heart. He says, Proverbs, he tells us in Proverbs chapter 19. He says this one. He says, listen to counsel and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom for the future. So you need to find wise people. Wise people. Proverbs 13, 20 says, whoever walks with the wise, what happens to them? They become wise. But the companion of fools was... Let's leave the fools alone. Let's talk about the wise. Let's talk about the wise. In the old days, they would sit under, you know, an insaka, a place, and they would just invite young people just to sit and to listen, not even to contribute, just to listen. And as I kept on listening to what the elders were saying, over time, these young men and young women began to teach others the wisdom that they gathered from the elders. So how do you recognize the wise people? How do you know these are wise people? How do you know these are wise people? I want us to turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. How do you know wise people? Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And if you have bitter envy, self-ambition in your heart, so we know that these guys who have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in their hearts do not boast and be forced to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It is earthly and spiritual, and it is demonic. It's demonic. In other words, the Bible says, these, if you see jealousy, you see people who just talk about other people, just envious about them. In fact, one of the, I call them the values that God gave the Jewish people. The last one, it says, you shall not covet. Number 10. Jealousy. So you know, the moment, you see, we leak as we talk. So to find wise people is in their talking. Just as they talk, you can tell, this one, no. This one is just good for laughter. It's just for conversation. After this, I'm done. I am going to my group where the wise are. And when they talk, I will listen. Not every relationship is good for you. It can be good, but it's not good for you. You need to find those ones. You see, when I'm going through stress, there are certain people that I go to and says, it's tough. I don't go to the ones who are hating. Because the ones who are hating, you know what they're going to tell me? They'll pile it up. This is what is happening. And especially if there's another person involved in my head, and I go to those ones, oh man, it will be something else. The time we are living there, my heart is wounded because I went to the guys who are hating. So when you're hating, don't go to the haters. Go to the ones that are full of love, full of wisdom. They say, no. Have you thought about this? What can you do in this situation? The wise. Go to the wise. And in the multitude, Proverbs tells us in 15, it says, in the multitude of many counselors, the wise counselors, there's what? There's safety. There's safety. So we have to find wise people in order to acquire wisdom. What are the consequences for rejecting wisdom? What are the consequences for rejecting wisdom? A sad story is told in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and chose to listen to the advice of his guys, his boys. And what happened to that? The result of that is that the nation, the kingdom was divided, and the idolatry went into Israel. Just rejecting the counsel of the wise, the elders. Down the road, the nation is divided. And I think what happened with this young man is because, perhaps this is my thinking, perhaps his father didn't spend time in teaching him. Solomon. Remember, Solomon started so well. I think because his fathers were taught him. Remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, when he was about to die, David says he gave a charge to Solomon. He says, this book, this commandment, you shall keep it. Keep the statutes of the Lord. Be a man. Show yourself a man. Become a man. He taught him, he says, when God comes, my son, when God appears to you, my son, do not ask for riches. Do not ask for honor. What should you ask for? In fact, it's not wisdom that he taught him to find. He says a descending heart or an understanding heart. When God came to him, when God appeared to Solomon, says, ask whatever you want. Whatever you want. Kukru. No, he didn't ask for kukru. Kukru is good, but he didn't ask for that. He says, give me a heart of understanding so I can govern these people, a discerning heart. We call it wisdom, but he asked for heart. You see, the greatest need for every person is to be understood. We always gravitate to those that understand us. If they don't understand you, you leave them alone. Because there's a need to be understood. And that is why Solomon asked for a heart of understanding. And he got a heart of understanding. He started so well. But over his journey of life, women came in. Remember, faith comes by hearing. And his hearing changed. Repetition. Repetition creates persuasion. You'll be persuaded by other things. So he kept on hearing other things. As he was hearing those things, what happened? He lost it. You can start so well, but if you stop seeking God and meditating upon God, the end can be disastrous. So you remain humble and says, God, I need you. I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. I want to grow in you. So wise, find wise people. And this always you get it from the wise people. You know, I hang around young people there at Mage, and you hear them talk about marriage. And they're giving each other advice. And I said, you guys are married? He says, no. I said, but why are you giving each other marriage wisdom here and counsel? You see, it's interesting that sometimes we go to the very people that are not in the league of what they're doing, and they're thinking they are wiser because of what they've seen. Mm-mm. Because they've seen bad marriages, they want to talk about bad marriages. They are good marriages. Seek the ones that are good. Seek the ones that are thriving. If your marriage is not doing so well, don't go to the ones that are on the rocks. You know, a car that is on the rock. Don't go to those ones. Go to the ones that you can see they're excelling, they're enjoying, it's growing better. Yes, they might not have it all in terms of finances or whatever it is, but they're growing. They're beaming. So I tell the youngsters, I says, no. You cannot give each other this counsel. This bald head didn't just come. come to these ones, which are shining like us, who will tell you what wisdom is about marriage. Amen? So what am I saying to this morning? God gave me an instruction this morning. He told me not to be so excited. He told me just to teach. So what am I telling you this few morning? He says, I want you to seek wisdom. Number one, wisdom, key number one, key one is that seek wisdom with all your heart. Seek wisdom with all your heart. Two, wisdom key two is meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. And wisdom three, key three, is that seek wise people. Seek wise people. Find them. There's grace for you. We are not called to live life isolated. We're not called to do life alone. We are called to do life with others. And that is why we have CG. It is a place that you can also gather wisdom. But within that same group, you can find the ones that you can do life with. Seek them. Seek them. Don't just sit back and say, no, there's no love. Sometimes people say, in this place, there's no love. Have you shown love to somebody? Have you? Have you taken time to know somebody? Have you invited somebody even just for a cup of tea or to your home or anything like that? But you want others to invite you. Mm-mm. It starts by you first. Only the hungry and the thirsty are invited to the banquet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are the greatest wisdom that we can ever find. So we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that, Lord, we'll seek you with all our heart. Because you've told us that it is a promise that you've said in your word, that if we seek you diligently, we shall find you. And so, Father, we sacrifice other things in our lives to seek you, to find you, so we can grow in our wisdom. And as we find you, Lord, your word tells us that whatever we will do will prosper. As we read your word, as we chew on your word, as we just meditate on your word, we ask that, Lord, our lives will never be the same. And those of us, Lord, that still do not have friends and good, wise counsel in our lives, we ask that, Lord, give us wisdom to find them. To find the ones that will cause us, in a way, to grow, to mature. Will cause us, in a way, to remain hungry for you. Scripture tells us in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is a man who walks not with the counsel of the ungodly. So, Lord, we ask that we won't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We'll walk in the counsel of the wise, the ones that pursue after you with all their heart. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We honor you.